In Richland County, the county board will meet tonight at 6 p.m. to elect a new county board chair and vice chair. An election had been held at a prior meeting, but a procedural error was discovered in the following days, which necessitated tonight's meeting. Immediately following the meeting of the Board of Supervisors, there will be a meeting of the Committee on Committees, which will be followed by a meeting of the Standing Committees. In Iowa County, an arrest was made in connection with a 2022 homicide. Tiffany Ann Chandler, 30, of Platteville, was stopped by police in the township of Mineral Point. During the incident, deputies confirmed Chandler had two active felony warrants. The first, issued by Grant County, was for first-degree reckless homicide. The second had been issued by the Wisconsin Department of Corrections for probation violations. In 2022, Dustin Dean of Platteville was found unresponsive in a Platteville hotel. He was pronounced dead at the scene by the Grant County coroner. A search of Dean's phone and Facebook account found interaction between himself and Ms. Chandler. Messages show he had been seeking heroin from Chandler and that he was waiting for Chandler at a Platteville bar to get heroin. Chandler said she was on her way. Dean's cause of death was found to be a mixed drug toxicity overdose, specifically a mix of heroin and fentanyl. The Dubuque Telegraph Herald reported a baggie had been found in Dean's hotel room, which crime lab analysis found that Chandler's DNA was part of a three-person mixture of DNA found on the baggie. In addition to the felony warrants, Tiffany Ann Chandler is charged with felony possession of narcotic drugs and misdemeanor counts of failure to obey a police officer, operating while revoked alcohol/controlled substance related, and possession of drug paraphernalia. The Iowa County Sheriff's Office was assisted by the Mineral Point Police Department and the Wisconsin State Patrol. On Saturday at 3:53 p.m., the Grant County Sheriff's Office was notified of a motorcycle crash with injuries near the 4,000 block of County Highway M in Waterstown Township. When deputies arrived on scene, they learned Stephen Gebhardt, 65, of Woodman, was operating his 2015 Harley-Davidson eastbound on County Highway M when he failed to negotiate a corner. As a result, Gebhardt and his motorcycle left the roadway and entered the ditch on the right side of the road. The motorcycle traveled down a steep hill before flipping and coming to rest in a field. Gebhardt was thrown from the motorcycle but was able to walk to a nearby residence to have them call 911. Gebhardt was not wearing a helmet and sustained non-life-threatening injuries. Mr. Gebhardt was transported via ambulance for treatment of his injuries. The motorcycle sustained disabling damage and had to be towed from the scene. The Richland Hospital and clinics will recognize the dedication, compassion, and impact of its nursing team during Nurses Week, with celebrations beginning Wednesday, the official start of Nurses Week nationwide. The week-long recognition highlights the essential role nurses play in delivering high-quality, compassionate care and supporting the health of patients, families, and the broader community. The celebration kicks off Wednesday with the presentation of the DAISY Award, an international honor recognizing extraordinary nurses for their clinical excellence and compassionate care. This year's DAISY Award nominees are Shade Thompson, Ashley Klingeman, Jody Clarson, Maria Riley, Beth Delagrave, Courtney Johnson, and Nate Humphreys-Loving. Nominations are submitted by patients, visitors, co-workers, providers, or staff members who witness a nurse making a meaningful difference. Festivities continue Thursday with special refreshments that honor the nurses. Thursday evening also marks the third annual dodgeball tournament, where cross-functional teams from across the Richland Hospital and clinics come together for friendly competition and community building. The event will be held at the Richland Center Community Center, with proceeds from team entry fees and a 50-50 raffle supporting Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination, GRACE. The week wraps up Friday with a nostalgic touch as nurses wear retro shirts from years past, honoring the history and heart of nursing. Throughout the week, the Richland Hospital and Clinic celebrates nurses as vital members of the healthcare team whose skill, advocacy, and compassion are essential to patient care and community well-being. The Richland Center High School Bands will present their spring concert tonight in the Richland Center High School Auditorium starting at 7:30. The featured performing groups will be the Freshman Concert Band and the Symphonic Band. The concert band will open with Flourish for Wind Band. They will also perform Semper Fidelis and Chant and Jubilo. The Symphonic Band will perform Isle of Calypso, First Suite in E-flat by Gustav Holst and Agüero. The spring concert also marks the final formal concert performance for graduating seniors. During the concert, the seniors will receive special recognition and the top band awards will also be presented. The Richland Center High School Bands cordially invite you to enjoy an evening of quality band music and to help celebrate the many successes of the band students. Cost of admission is $5. Senior citizens will be admitted for free. You can also see the concert and symphonic bands compete at the district large group competition on Saturday, May 9th. The concert will be held at the Richland Center High School. The symphonic band will perform at 8 a.m. and the concert band will perform at 8:55 a.m. Animal-drawn vehicles can be a common sight on Wisconsin roads, depending where you live in the state. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of State Patrol is reminding both animal-drawn vehicle operators and motorists to stay alert, watch for one another, and safely share the road for its May Law of the Month. Animal-drawn vehicles often travel below the speed limit, making it essential for all road users to stay aware and be courteous of others. Wisconsin State Patrol Superintendent Tim Carnahan said, if you approach an animal-drawn vehicle, slow down, proceed with caution, and pass only when it is safe and legal to do so. According to preliminary data, there have been 165 crashes involving animal-drawn vehicles in the past 5 years in Wisconsin, resulting in 12 fatalities and 186 injuries. Animal-drawn vehicles have the same rights and responsibilities as motor vehicles and may operate in the lane of traffic or on the shoulder of the road. A slow-moving vehicle emblem on the back is required to alert other drivers and increase visibility. In addition, animal-drawn vehicles traveling at a speed slow enough to disrupt the normal flow of traffic should move over when safe and practical to do so. It is National Teacher Appreciation Week, and education advocates in Wisconsin are highlighting the efforts of local teachers amid funding issues affecting public schools statewide. In addition to educating students, advocates said local teachers are using their own money to buy supplies and necessities for their classrooms. Peggy Wirtz Olson, president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council, said they are also being forced to campaign for referendums just to keep their schools open. She stressed how Wisconsin educators should be celebrated all year long for continuing to exceed expectations despite significant challenges. No one goes into this field to get rich, and you don't go into the field for the accolades or the thank yous, Wirtz Olson pointed out. You do the work because you believe wholeheartedly that we're building the next generation of students. Wirtz Olson emphasized meaningful appreciation includes strong partnerships with parents, student recognition of educator efforts, and most importantly, adequate and equitable distribution of public school funding. A new report showed nearly half of teachers in Wisconsin leave the profession within 8 years due to low pay, which has worsened over the last 15 years. Advocates said the most recent state budget did not include any new general aid to school districts, which requires teachers to do more with less. Average gasoline prices in Wisconsin have risen 45.6 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $4.37 a gallon today, according to Gas Buddy's survey of 3,112 stations in Wisconsin. Prices in Wisconsin are 56 cents higher per gallon than a month ago and stand $1.44 higher than a year ago. The national average price of diesel has increased 21.3 cents compared to a week ago and stands at $5.62 per gallon. According to Gas Buddy price reports, the cheapest station in Wisconsin was priced at $2.99 yesterday, while the most expensive was $5 a gallon, a difference of $2.01 per gallon. The lowest price in the state yesterday was $2.99. The national average price of gasoline has risen 38.2 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $4.42 today. The national average is up 32.6 from a month ago and stands $1.31 higher than a year ago. David Gillingham is restoring the family home at the corner of Park and Burton Streets in Richland Center. Gillingham says the house was built in the 1850s and that something about it called him back home.
I've always wanted to restore it. I always wanted to move back home, retire here. I was trying to decide what to do with the house. And it's about tearing it down and putting up a new one. And the more I thought about it, I'm going like, let's see, I've got a house with character. It's got style. It's got memories. And it's been there since the 1850s. So then otherwise it would be a new house with no character, no style, and no memory.
This was going to be a big project. I asked Dave, what was the first step?
First step was, to see if the bones were good. It looked good on the outside, and when I had the guys come in and lift it, then found out that, yeah, she went up straight, never faltered or cracked or did anything weird. So it's like, all right, bones are good.
Once things got moving, what were some of the things that would have to be done?
What Dad always called a Michigan basement. The house was built on the ground, and at some point in time, somebody went in and dug it out underneath. So it had a sandstone walls in the basement, but they were only like 8 feet wide, but the house was like 16 feet wide. And it's like, as long as it was somebody other than me, they could run around down there, but I hit my head on everything. It still had the original siding on it. It had several coats of paint, but this time the paint had just peeled off and all the siding was curling. Replaced the siding because it couldn't be saved. Had the old school shingles, several layers that were up there.
Dave and Elaine have done as much of the work as they could themselves, but they've been careful to trust professional builders when they needed to. 2 years into the project, would they recommend a project like this one to someone else?
If you were thinking about doing it, it would have to be, how bad do you really want to do this? It's one of those things, yeah, everybody should do this at least once. A lot of people wouldn't do it again. If it's something you enjoy, yeah, give it a try.
Dave and Elaine expect to have their occupancy permit by June 1st, and they should have the final work done in July. Dave says if you see him outside, give him a smile and a wave. He's proud of his once and future home and looks forward to many years living in the modern version. Amplify Health by Gunderson Boscobel will host its annual Teddy Bear Clinic on Sunday, May 17th, from noon until 2 o'clock at the hospital's lower level, accessible via the Bluff Street entrance. This free, family-friendly event invites children of all ages to learn about medical exams through hands-on activities using teddy bears as patients. Kids will rotate through stations including primary care, lab, immunizations, x-ray, physical therapy, casting, and behavioral health. Local emergency responders will offer vehicle tours, and the Boscobel Community Pool will have a concession stand on site. Each child will receive a teddy bear and a coloring book while supplies last. For more information, call Lydia McClimans at 608-375-6116. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources asks the public to avoid outdoor burning activities as fire danger is very high across much of the state and DNR burn permits are suspended in 43 counties. Fire risk is increased by ongoing dry vegetation, low humidity, warmer temperatures, and breezy conditions with gusts up to 35 miles per hour expected. This elevated fire danger will continue until there is a significant rainfall. And the DNR will continue to prohibit burning with all DNR-issued burn permits for debris burning where the DNR has burn restriction authority in areas with elevated fire danger. Spring is the most critical fire season in Wisconsin. Even a few days between precipitation can dry out grasses, pine needles, and leaf litter, creating hazardous conditions. Severe conditions continue across much of the state, and the threat of a large wildfire remains extremely high in Wisconsin. The DNR is at full staffing and preparedness across the state to respond to any incidents. Take action to help prevent wildfires. Embers from any recent fires, especially burn piles and campfires, can easily get out of control and cause a wildfire if not properly extinguished. Please avoid all burning until conditions improve. Outdoor enthusiasts should also be extra careful with off-road vehicles or equipment that can create a spark and start a fire. With dry weather conditions across much of the state, fires can spark at any time. Follow these simple tips to prevent wildfires from getting out of control. Avoid outdoor burning, including campfires, until conditions improve. Operate equipment, chainsaws, off-road vehicles, lawnmowers, etc., early in the morning or late in the day to avoid sparks at peak burn hours. Secure dragging trailer chains. Report fires early and call 911. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds the public to protect white-tailed deer fawns by leaving them alone while out exploring this spring and summer. If you encounter a fawn while outdoors, the DNR urges you not to touch it or intervene in any way. There's a good chance it's right where it's supposed to be, and its mother isn't far away. During their first few weeks of life, fawns stay quiet and hidden while their mothers look for food nearby. Their spotted coats and minimal scent are their best defenses. While fawns can walk from birth, it takes them a few weeks to become fast enough to keep up with their mothers and avoid predators. Remember, wild animals care for their young differently than humans do, and their best chance of survival is in their natural environment. Young fawns are often left alone for most of the day to keep them safe, said Jenna Fastener, DNR Captive Wildlife Health Specialist. Although their mother can return at any time, white-tailed deer are crepuscular or more active at dawn and dusk, which means the fawn can be alone for long periods between feedings. By the 4th of July, most fawns are on the move alongside or near their mothers. What to do if you see a fawn? Unaccompanied fawns have rarely been abandoned. If you see a seemingly healthy fawn lying quietly by itself, do not touch it and leave the area as soon as possible. Do not bring other people or pets to look at the fawn. The mother will not return while people or other animals are around. Giving the fawn and its mother space is the best thing you can do to support their natural behavior. Do not feed the fawn. Wild animals have specialized dietary needs that are not easily met, and providing non-natural food sources puts them at risk of suffering nutritional deficiencies that can lead to deformities or death. Call a licensed wildlife rehabilitator for guidance before intervening. Wildlife rehabilitators often specialize in one or a few species. Make sure you are contacting a wildlife rehabilitator licensed to provide rehabilitative care. As a reminder, it is against the law in Wisconsin to take an animal from the wild to keep as a pet or to provide unlicensed rehabilitation. To protect their health and yours, you should never try to care for a wild animal. For more information on keeping Wisconsin's wildlife wild, visit the DNR website. This week is National Travel and Tourism Week. Senator Howard Markline reminds us Wisconsin has built a strong reputation as a tourism destination. In 2024, Wisconsin welcomed a record 114.4 million visitors, many from neighboring states. That strong turnout generated more than $3 billion in economic impact, supported over 22,000 jobs, and produced more than $200 million in state and local taxes across the counties in the 17th Senate District. Senator Markline encourages all to get out and explore all that Wisconsin has to offer. The American Red Cross urges donors to give blood or platelets now to help hospitals and transfusion centers stay prepared to help all patients. Donors of all blood types and those looking to give for the first time are encouraged to book an appointment in the coming days or weeks ahead. Three blood drives will be held in the area this week. A blood drive will be held tomorrow from noon until 5 at the New Lisbon Library. Wednesday, there will be a blood drive held from 11 until 4 at Weston Schools in Cazenovia, and another blood drive from 11 until 4 at Dodgeville High School. Book a time to give blood or platelets now by visiting redcrossblood.org or calling 1-800-RED-CROSS. Walk-ins will also be welcome. Those who give through May 17th will receive a $20 gift card by mail. The Department of Natural Resources is looking for a few good volunteers at its campsites this summer. State Parks Volunteer Coordinator Janet Hutchins says there are many spots available for people to pitch in and help out fellow campers. Hosts will stay at the campsite a few hours a day, greeting and assisting fellow campers and provide information about park facilities, park programming, and amenities in the area. They'll also make sure the campsites are neat and orderly for use. Some Northwoods locations in Vilas and Oneida counties are paid positions as well. Find out more online at dnr.wisconsin.gov and search for volunteer opportunities. Getting your kids involved in spring cleaning might feel like extra work, but experts say it pays off long term. UW Health pediatrician Megan Yanni says the efforts can help with developmental milestones, coordination, and fine motor skills. It also teaches kids responsibility, ownership for their living space in their home, making sure they're learning about staying clean from germs and waste. Just make sure you're assigning age-appropriate tasks for your kids and keep them away from harmful chemicals and cleaners. Employers that go above and beyond for veterans are being sought by the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. During National Military Appreciation Month, the Department of Workforce Development is inviting businesses to apply for its Vets Ready Employer Initiative. The designation recognizes employers that prioritize hiring and retaining veterans, build strong support systems, and stay connected to the veteran community. Applications are now open through July 31st, with winners to be announced on Veterans Day in November. Employers can earn gold or silver status across small, medium, and large business categories. Last year, a record 25 Wisconsin employers received the Vets Ready designation. The state's Department of Public Instruction announces a major new investment in literacy coaches. DPI will place literacy coaches in 50 public schools and 4 private schools over the next 2 years under Wisconsin Act 20. The effort is supported by more than $9 million approved by the legislature's Joint Committee on Finance. Schools were selected through a competitive process based on third grade reading needs, geographic balance, and readiness to support the program. Coaches will work directly with teachers to strengthen instruction, build school-wide literacy systems, and boost the number of students reading it at grade level by the end of third grade. The Wisconsin Department of Justice has announced a federal court stated that it will approve a $700 million settlement in a multi-state antitrust lawsuit against Google. The lawsuit challenged Google's control over Android app distribution and in-app payments. The approval of the settlement ends a 5-year case and gives relief to consumers nationwide who were affected by Google's actions. Most of the settlement funds will go directly to people who made purchases on Google Play from August 2016 to September 2023. Most recipients won't need to fill out a claim form and will receive their payments through PayPal or Venmo. If consumers do not have access to PayPal or Venmo, they can file a claim through a separate process to receive their payment. The Wisconsin Department of Justice is committed to protecting consumers' access to a fair and competitive marketplace, said Attorney General Josh Call. Consumers who are interested in learning more about this resolution can find information on the settlement website. The settlement requires Google to update its business practices. For at least 5 years, app developers may use alternate payment systems, inform customers about lower prices outside Google's billing system, and list their apps on competing stores without fear of retaliation. Android users can download apps from outside the Play Store for at least 7 years. In 2021, Wisconsin joined a bipartisan group of 52 attorneys general who sued Google, alleging that the company illegally dominated Android app distribution and charged consumers up to 30% per transaction.